Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. May we always keep your word first as our instruction, as our guide, because, Lord, we know that you are the word and you are the way and you are the truth. And so, Lord, we pray today as Sarah opens your word for us, that by your spirit you would bring what you've laid on her heart by your word to our hearts and minds and bring transformation in Jesus' name. Amen.
How good is that song to hear just before you preach? The devil's got no hold on me. He knows that the devil gets scared when we share the word of God. Oh, it's good. It's good. But oh my goodness, 2020. Amen. Right? Even people who like change are not liking this. Like, this is just too much. I like change I can control. So like when I was a kid, I would like to change my room around. Because I like that moment of disorientation when you walk in, you're like, wait, what? And everything that isn't new, all of a sudden is new, just for a second. I like that feeling. It was a nice feeling. But I realized that sometimes you can kind of question whether change was the right decision. You know, like, I love my family. I love my kids. But sometimes I think if I didn't have kids, you know, just what did I do with my time? You know, I could get out of the house in minutes. Minutes, like seriously, minutes. And, you know, after two kids, your body's just not quite what it used to be, you know? But, you know, have you ever, like, left a job and thought, oh, actually, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought it was? Or, you know, got a haircut and thought, I'm going to rock this, and you don't. You know? The idea that maybe the grass isn't quite as greener on the other side as you thought. But what about the choice to become a follower of Jesus? You know, at times I think, I'm not sure I make a great Christian. Hear me out, you know. About 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, don't come to my house. You know, that's probably when I'm yelling at my kids. You know, when I get really anxious, I turn to anything but the Bible. You know, preach a great sermon. Struggle to maintain a quiet time. I'm sure I'm the only one. So if you have no idea what I'm talking about, just block your ears. You know, change the channel. But I think, I don't know. I think I find it can be really difficult. And when you become a Jesus follower, when you choose to become a Christian and invite Jesus into your life, it can be the most incredible and life-transforming moment, and also the most uneventful moment of your life. Because really, that's kind of where the journey begins. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:16-17, there'll be a verse that comes up, talks about when Jesus comes into our life, we get a whole new perspective of who Jesus is, and we become a new person. So it says, at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Doesn't that sound amazing? It sounds amazing. And then we hold in the other hand the verse that we get from Paul in Philippians 1:6. And I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Which kind of gives you a different feeling to the first one, right? Like the first one's like, bing! Second one's like, there's a work to be done all the way until Jesus returns. So today I want to dispel the myth that when you become a Christian, you become a perfect person. I stand before you a Christian, but a sinner. You know, I've chosen to follow God and his ways that he's given us through the scriptures. But there will be times that you'll see behaviors in me, choices in me that'll probably make you question my convictions and that work actively to separate me from the freedom that I have found in Jesus. Corinthians passage shares that becoming a new person in Jesus, I've become a new person in Jesus, but I can still see where my old self kind of leaks in to my life. And do you know what? Sometimes not unwillingly. Today I want you to know that you're not alone if you're finding the Christian journey tough. But I have steps that I feel that God has given me to help us move our minds and our hearts back in a line to where Jesus has a life of freedom and a life of fulfillment for us. It's not over. So, step one, heed the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything you have said, so everything I have said to you." John 16:13 says, "He will guide you in all truth." The Holy Spirit has been sent with a purpose to teach, guide, and remind us of all truth. So my question is, do we listen to him? In the past 2 months, I've felt all sorts of promptings and nudgings of the Holy Spirit. But for me, I don't think it's a coincidence that today's the date that I'm preaching, because there's a process leading up to preaching in which you're forced to stop, forced to listen, and forced to do the transformative work. And Jesus knew I needed it now. I've had close friends that have been calling out anxious behaviors in me. And I believe sometimes the Holy Spirit knows that we need a face of flesh to kind of to speak through. I've experienced in myself a desire to hide, not being able to walk in true transparency with the people that I love. I've even had a safe person of mine dreaming about me for the last month and being moved to contact me just out of concern. And I've also found myself lacking fruits of the Spirit: love, patience, kindness, self-control. Friends, all these things have been indicators and promptings for me that not only have caused the Holy Spirit to withdraw, but to show me that I'm doing this in my own strength and that I've separated myself from the life and true freedom that Jesus has called me to and gave to me when I gave my heart to him. Heeding the Holy Spirit, the word heed, the noun, actually means careful attention. Just like I would recognize in Nate if he was running rough, probably before anyone else would, we need to be ready and recognizing the Holy Spirit and paying careful attention when the Holy Spirit moves away from us, when we're being separated from him. So once we have this awareness, once we've paid careful attention, once we've understand and seen the promptings, what do we do next? My second point is bring it to the light. I love this verse. 1 John 1:5-7 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. We do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." I think the verse lays it out pretty clearly. And sometimes the Bible just, boom. Like there's no dancing. It's just, you're in the light or you're out of the light. But I suppose what I can share is what this has looked like for me. Over my Christian journey, stepping out, moving my darkness into the light has saved my marriage, you know, has brought about authentic relationships, has helped me live in a space desperate to stay in the light. I've experienced the crippling hold that sin can have when you try and keep it in the darkness and try and keep it hidden, the way it festers and the way it leaks into other places of your life. For a long time, I walked around with a well-polished facade that no one could do deeper relationship with. But it's only Jesus who can bring out the illumination of truth, and that brings healing and freedom beyond measure. If you're hearing the promptings of the Holy Spirit today, it's time to get vulnerable. It's time to get with your safe person. It's time to have a conversation and share your sin. Is it going to make everything better? Probably not to start with. But I promise you, even though it's the hardest step to reveal your darkness, it's going to be the best step and the best decision you can make in the long run. Over the last 2 months, I've sat in the living rooms of my safe people and done the ugly cry, done the talking. But I've shared my sin and behaviors as ugly as they've been. And I've been only met with love and grace and accountability to get to the root behind what's going on, and also prayer to move me back into the life of freedom that Jesus has given me in the beginning. Everyone needs at least two safe people that they can share anything with. You know, and the person that the Holy Spirit can use to remind us of all truth. So if you don't have a safe person, right now I'll ask you to message the Long Jetty Servos page. Reach out. Because everyone needs to be doing this journey in community. And third meal at my last step. So we've recognized and heeded the Holy Spirit. We've brought it to the light. We've had those tough conversations. And for me, the only response to this is repentance. Choosing to turn 180 degrees from where you were going and where you've recognized that you're moving yourself away from the Holy Spirit, turning 180 degrees and choosing to walk in the path and the truth that God has for you and that He's laid out for us. When we do this, we can move into greater, greater measures of freedom, of love, of transparency, of real relationship with Jesus. Luke 5, 30 to 31. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them. He said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Please don't hear me wrong. I told you this was a journey. This process is messy, and you want downright hard sometimes. I can't remember how many times I've had to bring things to light, big, small, life-transforming every time. But every time, brought it to the light, to my safe people, repented, and Jesus has brought about a new appreciation, gratitude, freedom, truth in me. Every time I've let Jesus lead me, he's moved me to a place of more wholeness, more freedom, more forgiveness. The Christian journey is the most fulfilling, revealing, downright painful, freeing, real journey that you'll choose to be on. Jesus has proven himself to me. This morning, if you're struggling with leaving your old self behind, your old self to keep standing up to the party, you know, maybe try these steps. I can only share what's worked for me and what Jesus has spoken to me. I promise you, I'm living proof of that freedom. But specifically, this message is hitting a bit too close to home. I just want to pray courage over you. I want to pray boldness over you. I want to pray for a revelation of Jesus' love over you, of who you are and who he created you to be, the new life that he's given you. There are greater things on the other side. But if you aren't a Christian today and haven't yet experienced the freedom and the love and the grace that comes with a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to pray now as the band comes up. You're going to look to the screen in a minute as we pray through this salvation prayer. Dear Jesus, I need you. I believe in you and I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, and thank you for giving me life and eternity. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen.